This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
Oh God of revival, let hope arise.
And good morning and welcome. It's Wednesday Live again. And it is right now 11:03. That song carried us a couple minutes into our hour, and we have some awesome guests with us in the studio today. Have John Nelson. Hey, John.
Hey, buddy. It's always good to see you guys.
Hey, yeah. It's good to be seen, let me tell you.
Listen, it's extremely good to be seen.
It is. Maybe you're going to talk some about that.
A little bit.
And you brought along a guest today. Michelle is with you.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about Michelle.
You know, Michelle has been working with a friend of mine, has a couple halfway houses. She helps with placement.
Okay.
And discharge orders. We can't talk about the company.
Sure,
that she
I understand.
Works for.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been working with her a little bit with people that need mental health medications.
Okay.
Just talking about the addiction end of it. And it's just nice to be able to have someone on the inside that can make that happen, because getting people help without insurance, you know, you're waiting in line.
It's tough, right?
It's tough. So she's an angel that's come into our fold, and we're looking forward to doing a whole lot more with her.
So, Michelle, you know, the first thing you have to do is say hello to everybody. You got to pull the mic right up to your mouth and not be shy and just pull that over there. Welcome.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody. That's Michelle. We're going to get some more out of her. David, also great to have you with us today.
Thank you. Pleasure being here.
And we want to just pause for a moment of prayer, because we have two prayer requests opening the morning up today. Actually, our own Karen has a very minor procedure being done today. We want to lift Karen up. Part of our staff here at WCNO, and also we have a request for Jody Barnett, who is in a hospital in Jupiter for, I believe, a kidney situation. And so, Father, we do lift up Karen, and we thank you, Father, for guiding the procedure today, that it will be totally successful and a great blessing to have it behind her. And we also lift up Jody today. And, Father, know that you hear us when we pray. We speak life, health, and wholeness over her, healing and restoration today in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
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 So we sometimes have some mail. I'm just going to hit on a couple things, and then we're going to jump right in, because I know, John, you have some exciting things to share with us. Have a note coming in from Jim and Julie. Hoo-hoo! Thank you, Jim and Julie, for your gracious support of WCNO. And you guys just have blessed us in so many ways, and we thank God for you. And for your little note, thank you for all you do. Many blessings, Jim and Julie, to WCNO. Thank you so much for that great donation you sent in. And also, I have another note coming in from Celestin. And Celestin is saying, my situation is currently bad, and my check was only little. My check was little. And so that's why I'm sending you only $50. Celestin, let me tell you, it could have been 50 cents,
that's
and
right.
we would have said, praise God.
Amen.
And,
Amen.
You know, when I looked at what he sent the note on, it was a donation for $500. And so, you know, he's saying, I could only send 50. This is how WCNO is on the air.
That's right.
We have people just like this that have a heart to get the gospel out, to encourage the saints, and is a wonderful part of our family. So may the Lord bless you, Celeste, and may the Lord provide for you, and may the Lord increase you in every way, because this brother has a heart to give. He just loves to give. And so we want to thank you for that, and want to encourage all of you to know that when Jesus said to the disciples, I want you to take note of the offering today, he said, no, not all those big givers. I want you to take note of the lady who's giving all that she has. And John, I can't testify to ever having a time that I gave all that I had. But I have certainly surrendered my life to Christ, and that's what God's looking for today. So, it's not about the bucks, the bodies, and the buildings. It's
so
about the kingdom.
So you're not getting the money like the big DJs are getting?
No.
Is that what you're telling me?
No. But you know what? I have an awesome God. I have an awesome family. The family is tremendous. I have an amazing wife and kids, two boys that are almost perfect, not quite, but almost perfect. And, you know, the things that matter in life, all of those are perfect.
Absolutely.
All the things that matter. Well, John, you've been through some stuff.
We had some storms. We had some health going on, and I had talked to Sherry, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks ago. I'm pretty formatted in my life. And it's not uncommon to find me at Home Depot, because I'm a home renovator here locally for a long time.
Right.
At Home Depot at 6 a.m. Mm. And
they open that early.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm on the opening coffee room. I know them by
name. Down at the contractor's end, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got out of my truck, and it just went haywire. I couldn't see. I couldn't walk. And
John, you have to explain what your medical condition is, because people aren't understanding.
I'm on heart transplant for about 8 years. And thankfully, God... You
eight
know,
years?
Yes. I've done stem cells at Shands UF, which I believe that's made miraculous. Yeah. And there's great medications. I have great doctors. Shands and Martin North saved my life. And then I'm over at Tampa General for heart transplant. And through great medication. And God's got a purpose for me.
You think?
He does.
You think?
I've had some mentors in my life in addiction that have been sober a long time, and I've watched them walk through cancers twice.
Yeah.
And my mentor died 2 years ago, and he rolled through cancer for 14 years, and he still played tennis 3 weeks before he died.
Wow.
You know, and went to an AA, and everyone knows in this town that I'm an AA guy, went to an AA meeting to get his 35-year medallion 10 days before he died. It was just that important for him to show up and show people, no matter what you're rolling through. Yeah. So I try real hard not to, first and foremost, complain.
John, you don't.
And it's hard.
You don't complain, but you don't talk about it enough for people to understand. I've met people, they're very much alive, and their health is not bad, but they're really dead. They have no vision. They have nothing to live for. They're not excited about life. No. They don't understand how blessed they are. And they literally are breathing.
Absolutely.
They're breathing, but they're dead. And others who the doctors say, you're supposed to be dead.
You know, rolling through the lifestyle I lived and being... removed addiction from my life. It really gave me a perspective to have that drive. And it's important for us all to be able, we have something to get, we're lighthouses.
Yeah, we really are. I've shared that on this program before. Yeah.
Am I being a lighthouse? Mm-hmm. Truly. And even in front of Home Depot on that Monday, and it's crazy because I got over to where I could hold onto a pillar.
So you're in Home Depot.
I'm outside and Home Depot.
You're outside. What's happening? You're dizzy. You're
spinning. I could feel my chest all over the place, and I'm praying. I just please clear up, because I've had these episodes before, and I'm like, thank God I'm not driving. I'm thinking this.
Did you
it.
Think Jesus? I'm coming home.
I think this is it. And, because it was never that intense. So it cleared up a little bit, and of course I've been going Home Depot. And a client from Palm City comes.
You went on into Home Depot.
Well, I'm waiting outside now.
Oh, okay.
It's 2 minutes too. I'm very listen. If someone wanted to shoot me, they could find me really easy. I'm at their front door at 2 minutes before six every day.
Okay.
So this client comes running up to me, and she's this, oh, I haven't seen you in so long, and you remember me? And of course, I didn't remember. It had been years. My husband died. I'm sitting there not trying not to die.
Yeah.
and she's unloading on you. And I'm hoping that she don't see that. Holy God. And I'm hoping I don't fall out in front of this poor lady that buried her husband 6 months ago. Oh, but, you know, gosh. God's good. And it cleared. And they're looking, because what's happening is my pancreas is failing. So they got me on a whole lot of medication. And that's why I've lost so much weight, because my A1C is so high. Well, to boot, my heart failure medication is making my blood pressure dump. So my blood pressure will go to 80 over 70 quite often.
Ooh.
Well, I don't know how much lower you can get, but that's pretty low.
That's very
so,
low.
So, you not know, I just kind of rolled through it because it's happened before. And of course, I didn't go back home. It kind of cleared itself. I ate something and... You know, God, he ain't ready for
tell us about your Tell us about your heart. How much of a heart do you have?
Your heart rolls at 60% in fraction. 60% pressure is 100% heart. Now, this has been explained to me over the years.
Okay.
Because what do you mean 60 is 100? Well, 60% pressure is your normal. Okay, like your heart's probably rolling at 60%.
Okay.
Or 60 points of pressure.
Okay.
Mine's probably at 26 with medication.
Wow.
So when my blood pressure drops off, they took me off some of Entresto, which is my heart failure medication. My heart started failing. So I had to go back on Entresto, which means I got to deal with low blood pressure. You know what? If you're listening out there, God's got a way. But don't lay down to it. We don't have to lay down. Now, I got a granddaughter now that I've got quite often. She's 3 months, and she's just taken my heart by storm. And I get her 4 nights, and it's changed my life schedules. You know, I go to bed early.
Yeah.
I have ice cream and go to bed at
7:30. How old is this girl?
She's 3 months.
3 months. And, a three-month-old, Hazel that'll Rose. Change your schedule.
But I don't get her to leave sometimes until 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. If you're anything like us guys and gals, I've been getting up at 4:35 a.m. for a long time.
Yeah.
So my schedule is still 4:35 a.m. So
right. The morning doesn't change, so the night can impact.
I've just learned to roll with it, and if I need to take a nap during the day, I do it.
You do it, sure.
You know, and if you're struggling out there, there's a lot of medications that can help keep you alive, but you got to take your medication.
Yeah. Yeah.
So God saved me for another day, and here I am, sitting with you wonderful people.
Amen. 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 Well, I know a lot of people have different issues in their life, and I just felt so strongly, John, that for people to be encouraged,
absolutely,
to not give in to defeat and not stop living.
That's right.
If you're alive, it's because God has work for you to
get
do
off
still.
The couch.
God's not finished with you yet.
Get off the couch.
So, you know, don't spend your time looking for the undertaker. No. My dad always said, I'm looking for the upper taker. I want to be boots on the ground until Father calls me home, you know. And so that's absolutely awesome. And I think it's great encouragement.
You know, one thing I've learned is when you're rolling through a storm and you're rolling, because I just had some company stuff go on with some old contractors, and it was bad, and it was dark, and it was really dark, and there's always a rainbow on the other side.
Yeah, if you press through.
You just got to press through.
Got to press through.
And that's how with my health.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that Michelle, she kind of does the same thing that I do on a professional level with addiction and mental health. And
John, talk about Families Recover. Talk about Families Recover. Where did it come from, and why do you do what you do?
12 years ago, we started.
Just 12 years. All this has happened in 12 years.
Families Against Drunk Driving was born. We had some really bad stuff going on in the family. Municipalities, law, the state, nobody could help me. So we decided that we'd start a 501c3 that would help educate, go to court, and fight for people that are having problems with people that are driving drunk. And at that point, it was just drunk driving.
Yeah.
To help them learn and understand that you do have some rights, and these are the legal recourses that you can take. Like, I ended up getting custodial of my son through learning
what the laws
through people in this town. And God put Eula Clark, who was the mayor here for a while, she taught me everything about family law because she was a lawyer. She's a godly woman. And, you know, and that's one thing that we started doing legislatively with families, being able to show them the ways
Okay.
And then working with the sheriffs with DUI checkpoints and stuff like that. And then heroin and oxycodone rolled in. Actually, it was first oxys, and that kicked off the heroin thing. And Families Recover became the name for us principally. Because we were looking for a name, and God gave it to Jenny. Who pays the price more than the family?
Yeah,
so
the
that's
family.
How Families Recover came in, and that's been about 8 or 9 years. So, you know, we're happy. We've been able to place people and just try to get families back together.
You network. You work with a lot of organizations.
Well, and you've met some. We've had them in the studio. Yeah. You know, Jimmy Weir, I was on the phone with him today. He rolled through some crazy stuff last year, and that's finally coming to an end.
Praise God.
And the guy, like Keith Masters. If you're hanging around people that are in the solution, and they're probably got a lighthouse around them, and they probably got a bunch of lighthouses in their life, you can get through it, but you can't do it alone.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one thing that Families Recover has really, really instituted. You got to allow people into your life. You ain't got to do anything. See, I get to do it. You and I and Michelle and everyone in the studio knows that if we have power around us, and it talks about it all through the Bible.
Yeah, it does.
I've got people. So I have a tribe today. And that's what we try to teach people when they're coming in to Families Recover, especially because we get phone calls from here, and that's really spurred. And I actually got a call from Michelle because she heard our ad on WCNO.
Really?
You know, and she works, and I can't name the name because they don't want us doing that, but in a facility that does a lot of mental health free. They do a lot of addiction free, and it can move on to be 30, 60, 90, 120 days. She just helped me get some medication for a girl that was in this studio last year that couldn't get her medication anymore because of insurance, and they instituted to get her back on her medication so she can get her life back on the roll.
Wow.
You know, God puts angels in our life if we're looking for them.
Yeah.
So you got to be looking for them.
Yeah, for sure. Well, John, I know that you and your family personally were bit by the snake. And so, you know, explain just a tad bit of that, because I've recently been with some people that are trying to hang on close to their bosom, those who have made choices to go another way. And I know in your family, these are tough things that you had to just kind of walk through.
Jennifer and I met at AA. Fellowship.
Oh, you met at AA.
We met in AA. She was sober, and she had came out of pills trafficking. Okay. She actually did time for trafficking. We got together. We ended up buying a house, getting married. She built a business. I was already in business, but she offsuited into a cleaning business, got custodial of her son. Everything's rolling along, and what happens? She ended up going back around people she shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
And what happens? She went right back into pills, and it actually turned into a heroin addiction. We held on as long as we could, but I've learned in addiction, you got to know where tough love has to take. She was actually getting high in the house with the kids, and this came to a point where we couldn't have that no more. So we ended up putting her into a treatment center, and my doctor that saved my life, she ended up getting endocarditis, which takes out the aortic valve. She ended up, I found her on the streets. My doctor saved her life on a Sunday, open heart surgery, and she got sober for 91 days, ended up going back out. This is how powerful addiction is. You're 36 years old. You just had your heart chopped open.
Yeah.
You get clean, you have all the support around you, but you're still running with those old people. It's in the Bible.
Yeah,
yeah.
How many times did they run to the Philistine?
Yeah.
Or wherever.
Right.
And she ended up having a stroke, cocaine-induced stroke. She was working the streets in Hope Sound.
Wow.
And at 38 years old, she took her last breath.
Wow.
You know, and it's become a pinnacle point for the drive behind Families Recover, and especially working with women.
You can see that.
You can see it. And, you know, over since her death, it was 6 years ago, her mom, it took 3 years for her to come out of a depression. She lost her son at 19 from addiction. She lost her daughter at 38. So in Hope Sound, on the urn, on the fireplace, there's two urns of both of her kids. So when Mother's Day comes around, of course, I talk to her, and it's like, you know, she knows, though. It wasn't the family's fault.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't. Yeah. And, it, you know, Jenny was one of those that was chosen to take her last breath in addiction.
So what's happening in our nation? We want to get to Michelle in just a second here. What's happening in our nation?
The media as a whole over the last 2 years, we did a lot with Fox, Channel 5, and Channel 12, DUI and drug overdose. They haven't called me in almost a year because they have completely squashed what's going on with the fentanyl overdoses, which indeed is not stopped. It's 320.
Why are they squashing it?
Because it's big money. There's money in treatment. There's money in going to jail.
So the problem's not gone.
No, it's 320 a day dying to fentanyl right now in the United States.
320 a day.
Yeah. And now they talked about and put all that money towards COVID, which we won't even go down that rabbit trail. And even during COVID, more people are dying from overdose than COVID.
Really?
And to this day, it's still one of the number one leading deaths in America on a daily basis.
Fentanyl.
And it doesn't make the media.
Doesn't hit the media.
Want to know why? Because there's 100,000 treatment centers making a lot of money.
Ooh.
There's a whole bunch of pharmaceutical companies that choose MAT treatment, which is Suboxone, Methadone, and Subutex. And I'm going to show this kid coming in off of pills that we're going to give you a crutch.
Yeah.
Well, why not teach them how to get sober?
Get free. Yeah.
Now, does some people need those drugs? Of course.
For a season.
Does 90% need it?
No.
So, you know, it's just turned into a money game. And it's in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's greed.
Greed.
Mm-hmm. It's greed.
All right. Introduce Michelle. Tell us about Michelle. How did you all meet? And I want to hear some of her story.
Yeah, good friend of mine, Donald. We've been friends 8-9 years. He's got a couple halfway houses.
Okay.
And Michelle works in the placement after people have come through a detox or whatever. And she ended up becoming good friends with them. And then I found out that she could help us with people like Jamie that needed medication.
Awesome.
And I wish I could say their name because I'm going to tell you the truth. A state-run facility is making more progress than a $100,000 a month treatment center. And that's the God's truth.
Well, that's pretty awesome.
You want to know why I'm a broke 501c3? Because I won't buddy up with these people. It's a fact. They won't back me because I'm not sending a kid to your MAT facility.
Yeah.
I refuse. Now, if you want to show me that the statistics are different, I'll sign up with you.
Yeah.
But you can't.
Yeah.
You can't because your Bentley is more important than that kid's life.
Ooh. So, Michelle, tell us a little bit about your journey.
With my life?
Life is a little bit of your God story.
Okay.
And then how did you get where you are? And
okay. Well, so I was adopted. And the reason I'm bringing that up is my mom that raised me had me in church from the moment she brought me home. I was 5 months old.
Awesome.
I met my birth mom when I was 28, and she didn't even believe in God. So I know God's hand. And I told my mom.
He placed you there.
Mm-hmm. I told my mom when I met my birth mom and figured out how everything came together. In my mind, I'm like, someone on my birth mom's side was praying for me.
Mm.
And I said, Mom, someone was praying for me. She's like, yeah, Michelle, I was, before she even got me. And and so, you know, I grew up knowing God. Like, I don't remember ever not believing in God. You know, grew up Baptist, got saved and baptized probably 3 times. And,
and so, just to be sure.
Yes. Yeah. You know, where you rededicate.
Right.
And you know, grew up, was strong with God, and then, got married, got divorced. We were married like 10 and a half years, so my kids were 3, 7, and 9, and that's when I took a right turn, or a left turn, and started doing Michelle. You know, I still went to church. I never stopped believing in God, but my struggle was men. I didn't want to be alone. So I was in that merry-go-round or cycle for 10 years.
Mm.
And God still convicted me. See, that's what I, you never know. You could see someone's sin on the outside, but you never know what God is doing on the inside.
True.
That's right.
It's
and
true.
Even though
Good
I was,
point.
I was living in sin, God was there. He was convicting me. Sometimes I would yield and sometimes I wouldn't.
Yeah.
But he never left me. He was chasing me. And finally, I was like, okay, God, you know, finally you like, I don't know, get hit in the head. You're like, okay, God, obviously my way is not working. I'm going to do it your way. And about that time, like a year before, he I'm from Northern Kentucky, right by Cincinnati, and I prayed for years to live where it was warm all the time. Florida wasn't even on my radar. My ex-husband's sister, they had a condo in Vero, and she reached out to me, and actually we're very blessed. She's taking care of our kids' education. And the reason I'm telling you that is she said, my daughter's about to start high school, and she's like, I want you and your daughter to come to Florida and check out the schools. And so we did, and everything worked out. We found out in July she got into a high school. And then we were moved down here a month later, and that was in 2015. And it was because there was a huge single life where I was from. And God put me smack in the middle of Vero, where it was a bunch of older people, nothing to do, you know. And I was like, oh. And I just remember sitting in the living room, staring at the four walls. I'm like, oh, you're funny, God, like, you know. So He put me in, and so, but since I've hit the ground running since I came to Florida, and I'm fire for God, and I'm not going back to what He brought me out of, and you know, and just like with addiction, you know, if we don't even have to die physically, we can die. You know, if I would have stayed in that cycle, you know, I don't know what the full destiny God has for me and whoever's listening. If you stay in that cycle, it's a death, but even though it's not physical death, you're not reaching the fullness that God has for you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and there's always a way out, you know, and, you know, I have a lot of regret and, you know, about things that I did when my kids were young, you know, if I could go back and I could change it, you know, and that's really hard, but you know, all we can do is change today. So, mm-hmm. you know, and that's what I'm doing. I'm not, no one's perfect, but you know, we try to do better every day and live for God, and you know, and so that's where I'm at, and I'm not going back to where I was from spiritually or physically. I'm staying in Florida.
How did you get trained to do what you're doing at this time?
So I went to college in Kentucky, and I got my bachelor's in human services.
Okay.
So, and then I worked in the field. I was actually working with people with intellectual disabilities until my first son was born, so a few years. And then I didn't work, and then I was sharing with them earlier. Then from then till I came to Florida in 2015, I did a lot of customer service jobs. Multiple customer service, and this is how cool God is. I always wanted to work in addiction, and then when I came to Florida, I worked a couple jobs, and then my friend reached out to me. She was working where I'm working now, and she said, hey, you need to come and work here. But mm-hmm. my dad, he actually lives with me, and I have to take him to like his doctors and stuff. So the job I had, it was always a struggle to get off during the day to take my, like, it was just ridiculous. And so I'm like, okay, but let me know when a third shift opens up. And finally one did. So I applied for a third shift tech. And then, so I didn't have to fight anybody to take my dad to the doctor.
Wow.
And so, so in the position I'm in now, which is a discharge planner, came open, and the person that knew me knew I had a degree, and she kept telling our boss, she's like, you need to put Michelle, you know, in a different position. And she just, I didn't tell her to do this, but she just kept pushing for me, and it finally opened up, and, you know, and I told him, I said, hey, the only reason I wouldn't want to do it is because of taking my dad to the doctor. He's like, don't worry about it. We'll work with you.
And wow, that's awesome.
And God just made it happen and put me here, and I love doing what I do, and I believe a lot of the people who struggle with addiction have the highest callings, and that's right. Why the devil's tried to take them out.
For sure.
You know, and I tell, and the one thing I love about my job is I'll say, you know, because the language in AA is your higher power.
Yeah.
So I'll say, what's your higher power, you know, and 99% of the time they either say God or Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, so many of them, and there's so many of them that came from like a strong Christian background, you know, and so I'm able to encourage, I know how I can talk to them when they say that. So I'm able to encourage them, you know, I've prayed with a few people, you know, I've heard some near death experiences, you know, from people, because whenever they tell me they OD'd, I say, did you see anything? A lot of people don't.
Yeah.
But sometimes you get those stories where they do. So, you know, and it's, you know, I know we're all piecing the puzzle, you know, and I just, you know, if I can encourage them to think about, you know, You know, and I'll share, you know, you have a picture in my office where it's a black circle with, but it's like a bunch of like, it's not arrows, but that's what they look like. And it's got a person running out. And I'm like, this is, you know, I always use this example, the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years, you know? And so, and I'll use that example and I'll be like, you know, and I'll point to it. I'll be like, you know, these are all the arrows the enemy's been throwing at you. And, you know, he wants to take, even if he keeps you stuck in here, you know, the little guy running out, you're never going to reach your destiny, which I just shared before. So you know, I give them a visual, and people are like, "Can you send me a picture of that?"
I'm able to get a hold of that.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so awesome.
So yeah, but I love what I do. I love, you know, being able to encourage them, and you know, you love the success stories. Unfortunately, they're not as, you know, we do get repeats.
Sure.
So, you know, but, you know, I mean, we still help them. We still encourage
God
them.
Gets a lot of repeats.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's one of the places here locally that you don't have to have insurance. Mm-hmm. You know,
which is pretty
it's a
awesome.
State ran, which comes with a lot of technicalities.
Yeah, sure.
But I just, we're blessed to have her.
Amen.
I mean, when you have someone on the inside,
helping out,
because it's hard. You make a phone call, or well, you got to come sit outside. Maybe they'll get in.
Mm-hmm. All right. Hopefully, you all are not going to leave the studio. I have another guest I'm going to connect with, and I'd like you to stay in here. And we're going to close out and come back together in a few moments. But I want to reach out to a great friend, great pastor, and God has used him in a lot of tremendous ways. And he and his wife both have been under some serious attack. But he is in the areas, and so Steve Camp, looking to connect with him in just a few moments. We're going to go to one of his songs, and this song literally talks about some of the craziness that that happens if God isn't in charge of our life and our world. And so this is a song by Steve Camp.
Nice.
Crushing your soul till you're standing tall, another mile will go. Stand another mile, we must go. Gonna be alright.
that you have joined us here on Wednesday Live. All right, and there we go. The computer jumped in ahead of me, but we are glad you're joining us today on Wednesday Live.
Yeah.
And right now we have Steve Camp that is with us. And Steve, welcome.
Hey, thank you so much. Honored to be with you and the dear people with WCNO. We love you guys, and thank you always for an opportunity to come on and talk about the Lord.
Well, Steve, I know a lot of our listeners are, they come by and go, well, you know, where is the Cross Church now? And like, okay, we're still talking about Palm City. Just give us a little promo about how people can get a hold of you, how they can connect with you, and then we're going to jump into some other things this morning.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, the church phone number, which we seem to get more calls, and you can text to that number as well, is 772-341-8271. That's 772-341-8271. This last year, we had moved from Palm City, where we had been for many, many years, out to Fort Pierce. And when moving out here, we found a parsonage, and then we started to look for maybe a new church property, but the property was so expensive. And just to have a designated building to drive somewhere, we thought, well, Lord, are you transitioning us from a traditional facility to more of a home church or a house church facility? And so we've accepted God's providence for us right now, and we are in a home church setting. And we have a detached garage that we've been able to convert into a place to hold Bible studies and service together, you know, a church office and even a studio aspect there. And so we are grateful to the Lord for that. And so right now, though, as you know, my wife went through a broken right leg of her tibia plateau and had been in rehab and surgery, great folks, for about 6 months. And the day after, Jonathan, that she was able to drive in open public for the first time, the next day I had stepped off of about a foot high ledge going into a bank to have something notarized, in fact, for the church. And when I landed off that ledge, my left ankle twisted and I end up breaking my kneecap in half on my left leg. So we traded legs, as it were, on my left leg, but it was severely displaced. And through an MRI a few weeks back, we discovered that part of the kneecap was healing beautifully. My ACL and PCL and so forth, ligaments and tendons on that piece was great, but there was a piece that became detached, a ligament tendon from it. And so I need to go back in and have some repair surgery done by a specialist, a sports specialist there. And so we're waiting to hear back from the doctor of where that would be. And so that was 7 weeks ago, and I cannot put any pressure on my leg. So I'm either going around inching my way with a little walker or in a wheelchair around the house here. And so we've gone to Zoom services because it would be painful if someone was here at the house, kids running around and whatever, and accidentally hit the leg. It would send me around Pluto for a time, wow. I think. Mm. And so we take it in God's providence. He's allowed me to go through this, and Cindy as well. But we've converted to home church. And so for right now, if people want to, again, join us by Zoom service and to see what we're about, call 772-341-8271, and we'd be delighted to send you our Zoom link so that you can join others that meet with us faithfully. We're going through the Gospel of Matthew right now, and we would consider it a joy and a pleasure to serve you in that way until I'm a little better or have a corrective surgery.
Steve, you're a wonderful brother and a great friend of the ministry here. And I was just telling you a few moments ago, my wife was saying we've got to reach out and just see what we can do. I have to tell you, I've looked at your text, and you have absolutely been encouraging, uplifting, and praising God through this whole storm. Every report I've seen from you has been like, wow, that ought to be in a book. You know, I have John Nelson in the studio. He thought, you know, he lives with about less than half of his heart, you know, working, and he's in here talking today. Wow. About the other morning, you know, being at Lowe's and how he really thought he was going home. But God's not finished with That's the right. body of Christ yet. And right. and Steve, I want to just thank you for standing up. Your wife was just coming out of her season of great attack, and then you came under great attack. And I want to just encourage all of our listeners at WCNO to just pause right now for a moment. We want to lift up the camps. Father, we just come to you knowing that you are our healer. Thank you for doctors and all they can do. But we know, Father, that ultimately our life is in your hands, and you're the one who sustains us and lifts us up and encourages us. So, Father, just put your arms around Steve and Cindy today, Lord. Take care of them and guide them. Bless their fellowship, their people, Lord. Bless the word that's going forth in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Amen.
Steve.
Thank you, my brother. Appreciate that.
This song, every time I hear this song that we just played, it's powerful. Talk a little bit about where that song came from.
It was taken out of Matthew chapter 5. At the end of that chapter, this is the beginning of what people will know as the Sermon on the Mount. And the Lord there is speaking about what it means to respond with a otherworldly love when we are to love our enemies.
Wow.
And he says here that, I say, love your enemies, Matthew 5:44. And pray for those who persecute you. Some translation expand that to the Luke 6 version as well. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those that hate you and persecute you. And we are to pray for those then that would do as such. So in an age of rage is the theme of the new album, Living in an Age of Rage. We are to bless rather than curse. We are to do good to those that hate and pray for those that despitefully use and persecute you. And the Lord gives a few examples prior to those statements on what it means, like in verse 41, and whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him another mile or 2 miles. Give to the one who asks and do not turn away from those who want to borrow from you. He even says, when you are slapped on one cheek, turn the other cheek. If anyone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your garment also. In a very litigious society like the one that we live in, that's the grace-filled supernatural response to living as Christians in this age of rage. And so how are we to respond this way? This is not talking about nations and armies and war and so forth. This is talking on a personal note. How are we to respond in a gospel, Christ-exalting, Spirit-empowered, God-glorifying way that is really the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to respond biblically to this kind of generation in which we live? And so that's the theme of the song there. The reason in the song, I put it in the context of using a piece of that old spiritual wade in the water. This is what Harriet Tubman used during the slave trade in that great spiritual to show where slaves could enter the water to not be detected by the angry mob of slave owners. By going in the water, it would minimize or extinguish entirely the scent of these dogs to try to capture them. She was using that old spiritual as a point of freedom. And so in our modern day world, what does it mean to truly be free? We know under two things, that we are to be free through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, free from death,
amen,
free from the penalty of sin, free even from the wrath of God, because of the cross, we've been justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, we have peace with God forever, the greatest gift we could ever receive. The war is over. We are now welcomed into the beloved through Jesus Christ our Lord. But then also in the society in which we live, true freedom is not the desire to do what we want, but the power to do what we ought. And what we ought to do is love our enemies, to bless those who curse, do good to them that hate, and pray for those who persecute. That's where that song came from. And thank you for the encouragement of playing that even this morning.
Well, this album, Age of Rage, I know there's a number of songs on the album, and after years of being an artist, contemporary Christian artist, and being well-known and concerts and traveling and such forth, once again, God is really stirring and releasing some powerful messages that are targeted right for our generation. So how can people find out more about that, and how can they connect with this album?
The website for the music area there is realstevecamp.com, and they can find the record on there. We're available on this new album on Spotify, iTunes, all the music platforms. They can download it and stream it. They can purchase it there. And we hope when we can get CDs actually printed, it's been hurry up and wait during this time, as well as LPs that will have that available as well for whatever people can afford on the website. But right now, realstevecamp.com, or they can put in my name with the title of the album, Neighbors in an Age of Rage. What does it mean to love our neighbor as ourself? You know, it was interesting. We've gotten nothing but wonderful reviews and positive comments, but people said, well, Steve, are you considering the trans person down the street, our neighbor? Or what about those in the gay community, LGBT plus community? And I said, well, yes, they're our neighbor. God's holiness cannot be compromised. Biblically, we would not condone any of those lifestyles or the mutilation of the physical bodies of young children that really deceived, and there's no other way to say it, evil people want to do to young kids these days, and turning them from a male to a female or a female to a male. That's just barbaric. God's holiness cannot be compromised, but yet His mercy cannot be restrained from people that need salvation, amen, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So therefore, loving our neighbor is to understand first and foremost the first commandment, the greatest commandment, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's given to the people who have been regenerated in the Lord by the Holy Spirit. So we love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Therefore, we love our neighbor as ourselves. Why? Because every person is made in the image of a holy God. The solution is the gospel. The solution is, my old late friend Andre Crouch used to sing, Jesus is the answer.
Yeah.
That's where we must begin and end. These things, and I thank the Lord for President Trump and this new administration, what great work they're doing. Pray for them daily.
Amen.
But at the same time, we know that the greatest solution is the changing of the human heart, and that only comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Well, that was a lot that you just said. Yes. A lot that you just said, and I know that our family of listeners are receiving that, and that's a message that needs to be spoken, because unfortunately some are afraid to speak that message. Yes. But it must be spoken. How is this album being received around the world? I understand that it's beginning to get some traction.
Yeah, you know, we've had a fair number of downloads. It's not the millions that are more common with some of the great pop artists of today. But I think so far we've had 228,000 downloads of the album.
Wow.
And so we thank the Lord for at least that beginning of receptivity to it. The Christmas song off the album, it's my first original Christmas song called Emmanuel. Strangely enough, in Europe, the Europeans love American Christmas music. And they play it even earlier and later than simply the Christmas season. And so the song, I believe, got top 40 in Europe and specifically also in Germany. We got a playlist back, and it was in between Nat King Cole and Bing Crosby, I think.
That's awesome.
On a song. So,
Emmanuel.
You know, thank the Lord for any of that he gives, but it gives an opportunity to share what Emmanuel, God with us, means. And again, all to his glory, all about the gospel, and all by grace.
Well, that is really tremendous. We have a couple more minutes. What else is on the album? Just maybe a couple other songs you might want to just spotlight.
Well, the title cut, which is a little aggressive, but it's called Age of Rage. It's really three categories of songs. It's faith, freedom, and family. Our little granddaughter, Kai, out of the six that we have, one still on the way, grandson coming, but Kai lives here locally, and we helped raise her that first year and a half of her life. And I would walk around the house with her when she was struggling to go to sleep, and I started singing a little melody, patting her back, and then put words to it. And that is called Be the Village. And it is not to support what Hillary Clinton stood for, but it's saying, don't let the state raise your kids. You're the mom. Mm-hmm. You're the dad. Let the family raise their own children. Right. So we have songs like that. I have a few love songs for my dear wife, Cindy. One is called Our Love, and another is called Sea of Tears. It's not that she makes me cry all the time, but it is saying, it is taken out of the Song of Solomon, where love is stronger than death, and it's greater than any trial that we could go through, a sea of tears. And so we deal with that. We have songs of freedom, songs about government and the responsibility that we are to have as salt and light in society. And then really good gospel songs. I put John 3:16 and 17 to music. We have a song called Indelible Grace on how we are saved as a divine work of God. It's a gift. We can't earn it. We can't work for it. We're not worthy of it. He gives us salvation as a wonderful gift of grace. So we have songs of faith, songs of family, songs of freedom in society of how we are to live as Christians. And it's all under the banner of neighbors in this age of rage in which we live in.
Once again, if you're just tuning in, this is Wednesday Live. You're listening to 89.9. We are almost out of time for this Wednesday, but I have Steve Camp with me right now. We're talking about a recently released album and really a great work of God. And Steve, want to thank you for your service in the kingdom and for letting that gift continue to be used. Obviously, God is still pouring into you and through you. Thank you for bringing that out and challenging our hearts today. We're going to be in touch a whole lot more with you, and we're going to keep you lifted up in prayer as well. Any closing thoughts before we go to this song? And I do want you to set it up. The song's entitled, He Covers Me.
Yeah, thank you, my brother. Honored to be with you. This is a song I wrote many years ago, and it was taken out of Romans 5:20, and this will be familiar to your listeners as well. Where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. We've been set free in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've died to the penalty of sin, but every day now we die to the power of sin because we are saved, but yet still sinners. But one day we're going to be free from the presence of sin when we're finally home with him and he comes back for his bride. So this song speaks of that future anticipation of the coming of Christ, and that through whatever trials you're going through, he is Lord, he is sovereign. Trust in him and find your hope in being with him one day in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, here it is. And Steve, we'll be back in touch with you and soon. And thank you so much for joining us this morning. We're going to go to your song.
Thank you, my brother. Grace and peace.
Blessings. Bye.
Wrongs done to me, but vengeance isn't mine to take.